rights, patents, trade secrets, trademarks, and know-how permits a third party to make use of these rights pursuant to a set of specified conditions and circumstances that are set forth in a license agreement. Licensing agreements can be limited to a very narrow component of the proprietor's intellectual property rights, such as one specific application of a single patent, or be much broader in context, such as in a classic technology transfer agreement, where an entire bundle of intellectual property rights is transferred to the licensee in exchange for initial fees and royalties. The classic technology transfer arrangement is actually closer to a sale of the intellectual property rights, with the licensor having the right to get the intellectual property back if the licensee fails to meet its obligations under the agreement. An example of this type of transaction might be bundling a proprietary environmental cleanup system together with technical support and training services to a master overseas licensee with reversionary rights in the event of a breach of the agreement or the failure to meet a set of performance standards. Merchandise and character licensing agreements. The use of commonly recognized trademarks, brand names, sports teams, athletes, universities, television and film characters, musicians and designers to foster the sales of specific products and services is at the heart of today's merchandise and character licensing environment. Manufacturers and distributors of a wide range of products and services license these words, images, and symbols for use with a range of products, from clothing to housewares to toys and posters. Certain brand names and characters have withstood the test of time, while others have fallen prey to fads, consumer shifts, and stiff competition. The trademark and copyright owners of these properties and character images are motivated to license them for a variety of reasons. Aside from the obvious desire to earn royalty fees and profits, many manufacturers view this licensing strategy as a form of merchandising to promote the underlying product or service. The licensing of a trademark for use on a line of clothing helps to establish and reinforce brand awareness at the consumer level. For example, when R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company licenses a leisure apparel manufacturer to produce a line of camel wear, it is hoping to sell more cigarettes, appeal to the lifestyle of its targeted consumers, maintain consumer awareness, and enjoy the royalty income from the sale of the clothing line. Similar strategies have been adopted by manufacturers in order to revive a mature brand or failing product. In certain instances, the spin-off product that has been licensed has been almost as financially successful as the underlying product that it was intended to promote. Brand name owners, celebrities, and academic institutions must be very careful not to grant too many licenses too quickly. The financial rewards of a flow of royalty income from hundreds of different manufacturers can be quite seductive, but it must be weighed against the possible loss of quality control and dilution of the name, logo, or character. The loyalty of the licensee network is also threatened when too many licenses for closely competing products are granted. Retailers will also become cautious when purchasing licensed goods from a licensee if they fear that quality control has suffered or that the popularity of the licensed character, celebrity, or image will be short-lived. This may result in smaller orders and an overall unwillingness to carry inventory. This is especially true in the toy industry, where purchasing decisions are being made based on, or at least influenced by, the whims of a 5-year-old child, who may strongly identify with a character image 1 week, and then turn her attention to a totally different character image the next week. It is incumbent on the manufacturers and licensees to develop advertising and media campaigns that will hold the consumer's attention for an extended period of time. Only then will the retailer be convinced of the potential longevity of the product line. This will require a balancing of the risks and rewards between the licensor and the licensee in the character licensing agreement in the areas of compensation to the licensor, advertising expenditures by the licensee, scope of the exclusivity, and quality control standards and specifications. In the merchandise licensing community, the name, logo, symbol, or character is typically referred to as the property, and the specific product or product line, for example, the t-shirts, mugs, posters, and so on, is referred to as the licensed product. This area of licensing offers opportunities and benefits to both the owners of the properties and the manufacturers of the licensed products. For the owner of the property, brand recognition, goodwill, and royalty income are strengthened and expanded. For the manufacturer of the licensed products, there is an opportunity to leverage the goodwill of the property to improve sales of the licensed products. The manufacturer has an opportunity to hit the ground running in the sale of merchandise by gaining access to and using an already established brand name or character image. Naturally, each party should conduct due diligence on the other. From the perspective of the owner of the property, the manufacturer of the licensed product should demonstrate an ability to meet and maintain quality control standards, should possess financial stability, and should offer an aggressive and well-planned marketing and promotional strategy. From the perspective of the manufacturer of the licensed property, the owner of the property should display a certain level of integrity and commitment to quality, should disclose its future plans for the promotion of the property, and should be willing to participate and assist in the overall marketing of the licensed products. For example, if a star basketball player were to be unwilling to appear for promotional events designed to sell his own specially licensed line of basketball shoes, this would present a major problem and would be likely to lead to a premature termination of the licensing relationship. The licensing agreement. As a general rule, any well-drafted licensing agreement should address the following topics. Scope of the grant. The exact scope and subject matter of the license must be initially addressed and carefully defined in the license agreement. Any restrictions on the geographic scope, rights of use, or permissible channels of trade, restrictions on sublicensing, limitations on assignability, or exclusion of improvements to the technology covered by the agreement should be clearly set forth in this section. Term and renewal. The commencement date, duration, renewals and extensions, conditions for renewal, procedures for providing notice of intent to renew, grounds for termination, obligations upon termination, and licensor's reversionary rights in the technology should all be included in this section. Performance standards and quotas. To the extent that the licensor's consideration will be dependent on royalty income that will be calculated from the licensee's gross or net revenues, the licensor may want to impose certain minimum levels of performance in terms of sales, advertising, and promotional expenditures, and human resources to be devoted to the exploitation of the licensed property or technology. Naturally, the licensee will argue for a best efforts provision that is free from performance standards and quotas. In such cases, the licensor may want to insist on a minimum royalty level that will be paid regardless of the licensee's actual performance. Payments to the licensor. Virtually every type of license agreement will include some form of initial payment and ongoing royalty to the licensor. Royalty formulas vary widely, however, and may be based upon gross sales, net profits, a fixed sum per product sold, a minimum payment to be made to the licensor over a given period of time, or even a sliding scale in order to provide the licensee with some incentive as a reward for performance. Quality control assurance and protection. Quality control standards and specifications for the production, marketing, and distribution of the products and services covered by the license must be set forth by the licensor. In addition, procedures should be included in the agreement that give the licensor an opportunity to enforce these standards and specifications, such as a right to inspect the licensee's premises, a right to review, approve, or reject samples produced by the licensee, and a right to review and approve any packaging, labeling, or advertising materials to be used in connection with the exploitation of the products and services that are within the scope of the license. Insurance and indemnification. The licensor should take all necessary and reasonable steps to ensure that the licensee has an obligation to protect and indemnify the licensor against any claims or liabilities resulting from the licensee's exploitation of the products and services covered by the license. Accounting, reports, and audits. The licensor must impose certain reporting and record-keeping procedures on the licensee in order to ensure an accurate accounting for periodic royalty payments. Furthermore, the licensor should reserve the right to audit the records of the licensee in the event of a dispute or discrepancy, along with provisions as to who will be responsible for the cost of the audit in the event of an understatement. Duties to preserve and protect intellectual property. The obligations of the licensee and its agents and employees to preserve and protect the confidential nature and acknowledge the ownership of the intellectual property being disclosed in connection with the license agreement must be carefully defined. Any required notices or legends that must be included on products or materials distributed in connection with the license agreement, such as the status of the relationship or the actual owner of the intellectual property, are also described in this section. Technical assistance, training, and support. Any obligation of the licensor to assist the licensee in the development or exploitation of the subject matter being licensed is included in this section of the agreement. The assistance may take the form of personal services or documents and records. Either way, any fees due to the licensor for such support services that are over and above the initial license and ongoing royalty fee must also be addressed. Warranties of the licensor. A prospective licensee may demand that the licensor provide certain representations and warranties in the license agreement. These may include warranties regarding the ownership of the technology, such as absence of any known infringements of the technology, or restrictions on the ability to license the technology, or that the technology has the features, capabilities, and characteristics previously represented in the negotiations. Infringements. The license agreement should contain procedures under which the licensee must notify the licensor of any known or suspected direct or indirect infringements of the subject matter being licensed. The responsibilities for the cost of protecting and defending licensed technology should also be specified in this section. Growth Strategy Alternative 4. Distributorships and Dealerships. Many growing product-oriented companies choose to bring their wares to the marketplace through independent third-party distributors and dealerships. This type of arrangement is commonly used by manufacturers of electronics and stereo equipment, computer hardware and software, sporting goods, medical equipment, and automobile parts and accessories. These dealers are generally more difficult to control than a licensee or franchisee, and as a result, the agreement between the manufacturer and the distributor will be much more informal than a franchise or license agreement. In developing distributor and dealership agreements, growing companies must be careful to avoid being included within the broad definition of a franchise under the Federal Trade Commission Rule 436, which would require the preparation of a disclosure document. To avoid such a classification, the agreement must impose minimal control over the dealer. The sale of products must be at bona fide wholesale prices without any form of initiation fee, and the company must provide minimal assistance in the marketing or management of the dealer's business. A well-drafted distributorship agreement should, however, address the following key issues. 1. What is the scope of the appointment? Which products is the dealer authorized to distribute, and under what conditions? What is the scope, if any, of the exclusive territory to be granted to the distributor? To what extent will product, vendor, customer, or geographic restrictions be applicable? 2. What activities will the distributor be expected to perform in terms of manufacturing, sales, marketing, display, billing, market research, maintenance of books and records, storage, training, installation, support, and servicing? 3. What obligations will the distributor have to preserve and protect the intellectual property of the manufacturer? 4. What right, if any, will the distributor have to modify or enhance the manufacturer's warranties, terms of sale, credit policies, or refund procedures? 5. What advertising literature, technical and marketing support, training seminars, or special promotions will be provided by the manufacturer to enhance the performance of the distributor? 6. What sales or performance quotas will be imposed on the dealer as a condition of its right to continue to distribute the manufacturer's products or services? What are the manufacturer's rights and remedies if the dealer fails to meet these performance standards? 7. What is the term of the agreement, and under what conditions can it be terminated? How will post-termination transactions be handled? Differences between distributors and sales representatives. Distributors are often confused with sales representatives. There are many critical differences that must be understood. Typically, a distributor buys the product from the manufacturer at wholesale prices with the intent to resell it to a retailer or directly to the customer. The distributor usually pays no actual fee for the grant of the distributorship, and the distributor will typically be permitted to carry competitive products. The distributor is expected to maintain some retail location or showroom where the manufacturer's products are displayed. It must also maintain its own inventory storage and warehousing capabilities. The distributor looks to the manufacturer for technical support, advertising contributions, supportive repair, maintenance, and service policies, new product training, volume discounts, favorable payment and return policies, and brand name recognition. The manufacturer looks to the distributor for in-store and local promotion, adequate inventory controls, financial stability, preferred display and stocking, prompt payment, and qualified sales personnel. Although a distributorship network offers a viable alternative to franchising, it is not a panacea. The management and control of distributors may be even more difficult than that involved in franchising, especially without the benefit of a comprehensive franchise agreement, and the termination of these relationships is regulated by many state and anti-termination statutes. The sales representative, or sales agent, is an independent marketing resource for the manufacturer. The sales representative, unlike the distributor, typically does not actually purchase the merchandise for resale, nor is she typically required to maintain inventories or retail locations, or to engage in any special price promotions, unless instigated by the manufacturer. You've been listening to Mergers and Acquisitions from A to Z by Andrew J. Sherman, narrated by Eric Martin. If you've enjoyed this audiobook, please visit gildanmedia.com, where you'll find a wide selection of our unabridged titles. Thank you for being a Gildan Audio listener.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.